Elevator Blog. I'm your host, Ted Seaman. Today, we have another in a series of interviews with the teams that are planning on competing in this year's second annual Space Elevator Games. These games, part of NASA's Centennial Challenge, will be held in Las Cruces, New Mexico, on October 19th and 20th. For more information about the competition, visit their official website, www.elevator2010.org. In last year's games, the only two climbers to actually make it off the launching pad were the Canadian entries. Today we are talking with the team leader of one of those Canadian teams. Steve Jones is the team leader of team number 115, Team Snowstar. This team is from the University of British Columbia, based in British Columbia, Canada. Snowstar is one of 20 teams competing in this year's Climber Power Beaming event, and one of the four teams competing in this year's Tether event. They are only one of two teams competing in both events. Hello, Steve, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you on as being one of the successful competitors from last year and coming back this year. So my first question to you is the same one I asked another Canadian team. Why do you think the two most successful teams from last year's competition were from Canada?
It's hard to say. I don't know. I think we're just as capable as the American teams. It might have had to do with the school schedule. Another thing that it might have had to do with is that a lot of the Canadian teams that are in engineering competitions are doing it as on an extracurricular basis, and I don't know if it's the same thing in the States or if it's more scheduled to be a part of their courses. So because we do it just on the side, just for fun, and completely out of not for credit, I think the timing of the competition worked well for us.
Maybe it's just the people that I've talked to so far, but it certainly seems that the Canadian teams I've talked to take this more seriously than the American ones do. A lot of the American ones are just, you know, it's for fun and it's for proof of concept, but if we win, great, and if we don't win, well, that's okay too. You guys seem to be much more serious about this.
We've invested a lot of time in it now, and so we are taking it very seriously. We definitely want to see a return on that investment,
yeah.
So we are pretty competitive about it, but at the same time, we're doing it because we're interested in the concept and in furthering that science, if we can, in any way, we're having a really good time, but it would be pretty hard to put in as much time as we have without being competitive about it and wanting to win.
So, knowing that you guys came back from last year, what did your team gain from competing in last year's competition?
We gained a lot of experience on actually getting the chance to get out there and get on the cable. That was a pretty valuable experience last year because it's hard to get that kind of experience, the actual setup of setting up a 200-foot cable under a lot of tension and putting it out there in the wind and getting the spotlight under there. It's a pretty expensive thing just to do a trial. It would take a lot of time and a lot of money to try. So that was really valuable experience. And also just getting a chance to meet the other teams. We've made, we know all the teams now, and so when we talk to them over email about partnerships and about ideas, it makes a lot more sense.
So I know that your team is one of only two teams competing in both the Climber and the Tether event. Why did you guys decide to compete in both?
Well, we have expertise here at the university. There were people who were interested in the Tether competition, specifically in the Department of Materials, Mining and Materials Engineering. So we decided to, they were really interested in trying that out, and we figured that we might as well.
Well, that's great. Can you tell us anything about your Tether entry? Do you have a secret breakthrough in carbon nanotube technology that you can, that I can get an exclusive scoop on here?
Well, what I can tell you is that we've looked at every option out there, from carbon nanotubes to spider silk to the various high-strength tethers that are already, or high-strength materials that are already available, and ways to most effectively make those into a loop. So we've looked at the full range of things, and we're still experimenting with a number of different ideas. We're very happy with where we are right now. I think that we have been able to beat last year's by a minimal amount. So we're happy with where we are. And we're going to continue trying some of these high-risk options and see how far we can get. But I won't say exactly what that is yet until October.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. It's pretty clear that your team is trying to do everything it can to win this year, including keeping details of your climber secret. But can you tell us what the major issues are as you see them and being able to do well?
The major issues that I see in the competition, at least with the approaches that we're taking for the climber, is just fighting efficiency and weight. On every step. So we have, with the technologies that we're using, the photovoltaic technologies, just getting the power density of your climber high enough is proven to be a very hard challenge. You can't just throw an unlimited amount of light on a cell, it'll heat up. There's resistances involved. So you have to try and make everything very lightweight, and then once you have that limited amount of power, you have to use it the most efficiently. You can't afford to have motors that are inefficient or other mechanisms even anywhere on your chassis that are inefficient and that you're losing power to.
So you've got several technologies you can use for power beaming and also for power receiving. Can you just kind of run down those a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So looking at power beaming, you can go with, you can use spotlights, and within spotlights there's a number of different technologies, everything from HMI to xenon arc to carbon arc lamps. Then you can go into lasers, and with lasers, again, there's a number of technologies, and lights provided us with a laser for the moment, a diode laser for testing. There's also CO2 lasers, dye lasers, and many different laser technologies, and they all have their own pros and cons. And then you can go into microwave power beaming, and so there's a number of different technologies. We've even looked at, just for fun, we looked at the feasibility of doing acoustic power beaming, but that's very infeasible at this time. So you have all these different technologies for beaming the power up, and then at the top you have a number of different technologies for receiving the power, and there's a lot of interesting crossover. So if you have a laser, you might be able to receive that power with either a photovoltaic cell or a Stirling engine or a thermoelectric generator. So there's a number of different receiving and sending technologies, and a lot of crossover and combinations of the two.
So you guys are just looking at all the options, and you're going to pull out a combination that you think is going to give you the best shot?
Exactly, yeah. So we looked at all the options, and it comes down partly to money and to time as well, and feasibility and risk with safety and regulation as well. So given the time frame we had, we've decided to go with solar cells as our receiving technology. We're also doing some parallel development with microwave antennas. You know, there's a lot of regulation risks involved with that, so we're not sure if that's going to happen in time. But we're feeling confident about the solar cell approach right now, and it allows us to explore both spotlights as a reasonably safe backup because we can rent those anywhere. There's also potential of using the sun possibly to power those cells, and a more exciting technology which would allow us to achieve a higher efficiency is to use diode lasers to power the solar cells.
Then you've got traction mechanisms that you need to worry about?
Yeah, tracking the cable is something that's not trivial. It's easy to overlook, but actually managing to stay straight on that cable and to do it efficiently is a hard problem. So again, we've tried all sorts of different roller layouts and roller shapes and roller sizes and different mechanisms for staying on the cable. You can go with a passive mechanism, or you can go with something active that's actually looking at the cable and trying to steer your way up the cable.
You've obviously given this an awful lot of thought. One of the things I noticed on your website was that you have a fairly extensive list of sponsors. Can you tell me a little bit about them?
Yeah, our sponsors have been absolutely critical to the success of our team. We've had an extensive amount of support from various funds on campus, but also Dutch Solar, Newark, Siegling. There's a very extensive list of corporate sponsors, General Electric, that have helped us with donations of equipment and in some cases even cash and expertise that have been critical to our ability to succeed.
So how are you testing your entries? Are you in the fortunate position that you're able to test your climber on your climber entry on your tether entry, or do you have another type of test set up?
Yeah, so for the tether test set up, the tether is completely a different geometry from the tether used in the climber competition, but we test the tether on a regular basis. Basically, we try and do as much testing and experimentation as possible. So we've probably tested around 40 tethers to this point. We have a full test set up that's exactly like the competition rig almost. And so we run our tethers through that constantly and see how consistent we can get and how strong we can get. With the climbers, it's a lot more difficult to do the testing. So we try and test all the modules separately. And obviously we need to do some full-scale tests. We've done 200-foot runs horizontally to check how the guiding mechanism works and get some measurements of efficiency. And we can also do short climbs to get, again, efficiency measurements in that configuration and make sure that our rollers are capable of clamping the cable with enough force to go up. Eventually, we're going to need to rent a crane here towards the end of August and do the full run with beam power and everything. But because of the complications of that test, you really need to test every single component as rigorously as you can before you throw it all together.
So I would guess that you were glad that the games were postponed from their originally scheduled date in August to the current dates in October.
We were actually pretty disappointed. We were aiming, we were on track for a date in August, and we could have hit it. Obviously, once we had more time, we used that time to do more experiments and try and refine the design as much as possible. It doesn't make sense to finish early. Well, it doesn't make sense to finish too early because you can use that extra time to try and do more experiments as you go to optimize the design. It puts it in an awkward place with the university schedule, and the location is going to cost a bit more logistically. But yeah, we're happy to be at the X Games. We think that's going to be very exciting, and we have been able to utilize the extra time.
So do you guys like your chances this year?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the chances. Right now we're trying not to worry too much about the other teams because we don't know what they're doing, and there's nothing we can do about that anyway. So we're just concentrating on beating the benchmark and trying to beat it by as much as we can.
What made you guys actually decide to participate in the Space Elevator Games? Is it just an extra credit engineering project, or are you guys all space junkies, or a fan of the concept of the space elevator, or what got you into this?
Well, no one's actually received any school credit for what we're doing. We're just we're really excited about we like the concept. It's really fun to be able to work with a lot of the things that we're working on. Normally, we wouldn't be able to work with, you know, high-powered lasers and this many photovoltaic cells and the kinds of new motor technologies we're working on. So we're excited about the chance to work with all these things. It's a good learning experience, basically. And we're also really competitive, so it's fun to be able to compete in something that's it's almost like a sport, all the tension and the suspense and the build-up and the head-to-head competition at the competition day.
One thing we hope don't have to worry about is any doping allegations at the space elevator.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that'd be tough to do. So tell us a little bit about Steve Jones.
Oh, well, I'm a fifth-year engineering physics student at the University of British Columbia. I enjoy these competitions. I was involved in a team here that's doing the DARPA Grand Challenge. And Red Bull, which is another one of our sponsors, I've been involved in a few of their competitions. And it's just, I just really like getting out and trying to make something from scratch and see how far you can take it.
Your website talks about your team and what a team effort it is, and I know in our previous conversations you certainly emphasized that. Can you tell us a little bit about your teammates and how you guys all came together?
Yeah, the team is huge. We've got about 30 people, and guys and girls, engineering physics and physics, as well as materials engineering, electrical engineering. There's and it's a huge effort. They'll come in to do some machining or something on a Saturday, and they'll stay in the machine shop till 11 p.m. or even later. So it's, the team has been absolutely very, very dedicated, and they're all as enthusiastic about the idea and really excited to be participating.
It's a mix of returning team members from last year and some new ones?
Yeah, exactly. There's a number of team members that returned. We're able to give some perspective on where we've been, and then there was also a number of new team members that came in with some fresh ideas, so that's been excellent.
Tell us a little bit about your website. It's pretty extensive. You guys got lots of photos on there, and like I say, full list of your sponsors, and obviously you've put a little work into it.
Yeah, I encourage you to go check out our website. It's www.snowstar.ca, and we've got a full list of our sponsors on there. We try and update it about twice a month with what we're up to without giving away. It gets harder and harder as we make more progress because we don't want to show pictures of our latest hardware on there. But we try and keep it up to date with what's going on and keep everyone in the loop about where we are.
Any last thoughts you want to share with us about Centennial Games or what you guys are doing or Canadian beer or anything which is relevant?
Well, we just think it's really great what NASA's done with these challenges, and we hope that they're going to be satisfied with what we'll be able to provide this year, and we hope that they're going to see value in the program because we know that from an educational point of view, there's been a huge amount of value in the program. We're really thankful for all the support we've had at the university, and as I said, we're just incredibly grateful to the Space Road Foundation and NASA for making the opportunity possible. The Space Road Foundation is a not-for-profit organization, and they've put in a huge amount of time organizing and running this competition just because they're interested in promoting this and promoting more education about the subject of the space elevator.
Steve, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk with us today.
All right, thank you very much.
And I wish you guys the best of luck, and looking forward to meeting you at the competition.
Yep, sounds good. We'll see you in October.
And for all of you listening out there, please be sure to visit the Snowstar website at www.snowstar.ca. And you can visit us at the Space Elevator blog at www.spaceelevatorblog.com, where you can get the latest space elevator news. So long, everybody.